the last several years, I've done a legacy series, which normally focuses on a famous person of faith. But today, I choose instead to focus on the one who is working behind the scenes. And I'm going to do the next step a little different order. I'm going to take a look, and then we're going to go back and do the book. Now, who was Ann Sullivan? Let us find out, shall we? Let me scroll down. Ann Sullivan Macy. She was born Johanna Mansfield Sullivan, April 14th, 1866, and she passed away October 20th, 1936. She was an American teacher, best known for being the instructor and lifelong companion of Helen Keller. Now, at the age of five, Sullivan contracted trachoma. It's an eye disease which left her partially blind and without reading or writing skills. She received her education as a student of the Perkins School for the Blind. Soon after graduation at age 20, she became a teacher to Keller. And though she struggled in college, June 1886, she graduated age 20 as valedictorian of her class, head of her class. And addressing her class, this is what she said. She said, "Fellow graduates, duty bids us go forth into active life. Let us go cheerfully, hopefully, and earnestly, and set ourselves to find our special part. When we have found it, willingly and faithfully perform it. For every obstacle we overcome, every success we achieve, tends to bring men closer to God and make life more as He would have it." I wish I could share. I was going to be doing a little video clip from the movie. The one of my favorite ones is the one where she is in a knockdown drag out with Annie. There they are, Helen and Ann, rolling around on the kitchen floor. But the parents had hired her to break through to Helen. Being deaf and blind, that was, you know, back in the 1800s. Wow, that was really tough to do. It's tough at any time. But with diligence, she simply held her expectations. And Helen simply, perhaps the first time in her life, she was being challenged. Yeah, like a normal person, sitting in a chair, eating from a plate, using utensils, just like everybody else. But it's through Annie's efforts. She met resistance from family and friends alike. And until at last Helen gets it. And she truly sees the light and has become just a legacy in her own right for that which she was able to do regardless of her disability. But again, it had a lot to do with Annie. And her patience. So let's backtrack to the book and let's consider a verse that my sincere hope is one that will allow us to perhaps reconsider how we minister to peeps and fans affected by disability in the future. It's not a verse we normally use when discussing disability ministry, but I believe it truly captures exactly the opportunity we all have to do an even better job in the future. Amen, amen. And the verse is found in the book of Matthew. I'm hearing somebody, that's probably Pastor. Matthew 25:14-30. I'm reading from the ESV. This is a well-known parable. It's the parable of the talent. And of course, you have been in church for a long time, most of us. But we know. What does he do? Each person is given a different amount of talent. And then they come back, well, what did you do with it? One had 10, and he made 10 more. Another had 5, and he had 5 more. One got 1, and he did nothing with it. And it didn't bode well. It did not bode well for that person. In fact, he's pretty upset with him for doing nothing, even though he was given 1. Now, normally we think about this in monetary terms. Well, we know what a talent is, thinking it's a piece of money. But I believe our opportunity is far greater because people are of infinitely greater value to our Heavenly Father. Amen? We are of infinitely greater value. So I want us to look at those talents as opportunities to invest in people we minister to. And just like in the parable, along with that comes two things. Number one, an expectation, as well as number two, an accounting for our results. Wow. That could potentially change the way we do disability ministry, right? If we know that there were expectations and we knew we were going to have to answer for what we're doing, we might be doing things differently. And hopefully better. That's what I'm saying. Better. We can do better. Because in my humble opinion, a lot of disability ministry, it's like playing croquet. No one's keeping time and no one's keeping score. You know, and I don't really have the answer on how best to do this. In fact, my personal testimony is about a gentleman I might have spoken about previously. His name is Sean Best. He goes by Dr. Sean Best. Now, a gentleman that I met through my work with Johnny and Friends when I worked for the Dallas office, he called us up one day and I happened to be answering the phone, and that's how I first met him. He, however, was in Arkansas, so it really wasn't within our ministry to deal with Arkansas. Well, actually, we did have an area ministry, and I believe Arkansas was part of that. But mainly we focused on Dallas. And I actually got to meet him. Beloved and I got to go to a hot springs where his grandmama lived, and we had lunch with he and his wife at the time he was married. And now Sean had a brain injury when he was a child. I believe it was maybe falling off a bike or something that a helmet probably would have prevented. And he is very high functioning, but suffice to say, he does struggle. He moved from Arkansas, he moved down to Beaumont, Texas. Just give you a little example. Okay, it takes me 5 hours from here to get to Hot Springs. It takes me 8 hours to get to Beaumont. But Sean Bessel regularly call me and ask if I can take him to the doctor. So suffice to say, there's some challenges just in his cognitive ability. But you know what he does? Well, we tell him exactly what you do. So you can do. And he does. I get no fewer than on a daily basis, I get 10 emails from him. Picture, if you would, Dr. Sean Best is Kelly with a computer. Okay, got it. Yep. Yep, that's what we have. And I confess, you know, I'm both intrigued and terrified by the opportunity to try to really go into the life of this very special person. And I confess, I really don't know how to do that. I did at one point in the past. We sponsored him going to a conference, but he's far less mobile now, and he yet is doing what he can, although I really wish that I had an opportunity really to do like Annie did and see what there was trapped inside there that I could, through my feeble efforts, help pull out and help him use to a greater extent in the future. And this is, here's what my hope is. My hope is this, that we can look upon people as an investment for his glory. Not our glory, but his glory. And how best to do that? That is something that the Lord, I just pray, leads us, because it's a very, very personal thing, one-on-one. So I challenge you, and I challenge me, to be an Annie. Our world needs more Annies. We need more Annies indeed. We're far more concerned about breakthroughs, are willing to do whatever it takes to get there. May our efforts yield a bumper crop of Annies in the future for his glory. Amen.